Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, we have talked about this. I'm here. I can't do it without you and without the Holy Spirit. There are people here. There are matured people listening, people who have matured in the faith. I thank you for them. They know how to fight. Thank you so much. But there's always more, and we're hungry. So I pray tonight as I minister your word that every person, the atmosphere, the Holy Spirit, the angels will be around, that every person who's listening will be able to hear, be able to see, be able to understand. And God, when they leave this meeting, in the weeks to come, in the months to come, years to come, they'll be able to apply what was revealed to them and receive what you want them to have supernaturally. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Jesus' name. Open your Bibles to Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6. I'm going to read some verses. This is a week of celebration. And if you don't know how to celebrate this week, you'll be wasting your time. I want to call your attention before I read. I'm going to read from Galatians chapter 6, verse 11 through 18. My main lesson is in verse 14. Galatians 6, 14 is the main lesson. But I want you to see a few words. I want you to look at the word circumcised. You're going to find it in verse 12, verse 13, twice, the word circumcised. And then in our text, verse 14, I want you to mark or circle. I circle in my Bible the word crucified. Now that's two different life. A circumcised life is a flesh life. A crucified life is a spiritual life, all right? So you got the word circumcised three times in verse 12 and verse 13, two times. And then the word crucified in the text, verse 14. And then I want you to circle in verse 15 the words a new creature at the end of that verse, a new creature. See, a circumcised person can't be a new creature. But one who is crucified becomes a new creature. Can you see that?
Yes, sir.
And then one more thing I want you to see before I read. In the 17th verse, the second part, Paul said, for I bear in my body the marks. Circle that word marks. It's plural. Marks of the Lord Jesus. When you want to live for Christ, you're going to go through some things. But it's okay. It's okay. So here we go. In verse 11, verse 11, well, let me tell you some other thing here. Paul, coming up to this text in the book of Galatians, talks about us being the heirs of the grace of God. Then he talked about we're the children of promise. He talked about the hope of righteousness. And then he began to talk about the work of the flesh. Now here, he's talking about we are crucified to the world. As believers, we are crucified to the world. So the world cannot, flesh cannot overpower us unless we let it. All right, let's read. I'm going to read from the 11th verse. You see how large a letter I've written unto you with my own hand, Paul talking to the church at Galatia. As many as desire to make a fair show in the flesh. Would it make a fair show where? Yeah, with a lot of that going on in the church. They constrain you to be circumcised. That's a flesh work. It was temporary. Only lest they should suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. Still going on. For neither they themselves who are circumcised keep the law, but desire that you to have you circumcised, that they may be may glory in the flesh. Now that's another thing I want. May glory in the flesh. Because you're going to see in the verse 14, God forbid us to glory in anything except the cross of Christ. All right? All right, verse, so well, glory in the flesh. You underline that? But God forbid that I should glory, save or accept in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. Now notice it tell you of this crucifixion position, or crucified position in verse 15, for in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. See, crucifixion make you a new creature. And as many as walk according to this rule, peace be on them, and mercy, I love that, and upon the Israel of God. For henceforth, let no man trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. Brethren, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Spirit, amen. Now, in this week, the Lord said to me, I want you to minister celebrating the cross of Christ. Celebrating the cross of Christ. Celebrating. There's other scriptures, 1 Corinthians 2:2, Galatians 2:20. You can go to those. Celebrating the cross of Christ. Now, it is to manifest the evidence and testimony of the cross in our lives. That's the way we celebrate. Manifest the evidence and testimonies of the cross in our lives. Will you be one that God can show the work of his son through? That's the question, you see. Every day is good when you learn how to celebrate the cross at all time in everything you are, celebrating the cross when you let Christ elevate everything in your life. Now, here's a problem. I'm going way down. Here's a problem. The question was asked me, or the statement was made to me, or the revelation was given to me, in celebrating the cross, you can't celebrate the cross in its history. You can read about it. You can think about it. But you cannot celebrate the cross in scripture mystery, a scripture history. You have to be able to flow in the mystery of the cross. I don't know if you see. It is not the history of the cross, but the mystery of the cross, or mysteries of the cross, which revealed in us and through us to others. Now, when you get there, when you get to functioning in the mysteries of the cross, here are some of the things that are going to happen. Revelation. Visitations. Application. Manifestation, demonstration, domination. That's where we should be. That's the way the body of Christ should be. We should be walking in revelation. We should have visitation from heaven. We should be able to apply the word, be a doer of the word, and receive a miracle, receive a sign, receive a wonder. We should be able to do that. But you see, in the history of the cross, just talking about Jesus died and how he died is not enough. Because there's a mystery, a revelation that we need to know in order to walk in a strong anointing and do the things that God said. All right. Now, another thing. Let's look at a scripture to back that up. Turn to 1 Corinthians 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. We're talking about celebrating the cross of Christ. This is the week for it. But I say, as a pastor, I can't come just tell you the story. Yes, sir. Because telling you the story just make it historical. Yeah. But when it become real to you and become a reality, that the Holy Spirit unfold not just a man hanging on a cross, but what he was doing. And then you can now see that it's real. And then when you get to the resurrection, you understand what's happening. All right, follow me. 1 Corinthians 2. It is not the history of the cross. You got that? Yeah. I want you to think about the word history and mystery. See, like, I'll give you for instance. I was talking to my wife. We was in devotion. We were sitting. And I told her, that ladder don't belong to Jacob. Jacob ladder when the manger's going up and down? No, that's not Jacob ladder. That's Leroy ladder too. Yes, sir. See, but what I got in Revelation now, I'm not just in messing with a character in the Bible. I see the spirit, what God was trying to teach me behind it. So I have a ladder with angels going up and down on it. See, that's when the power will come, when you begin to unfold the mystery and not try to live in the history. How many see it? Clap your hand if you see it. Clap your hand, because I want you to be still. I see y'all clapping. All right. Now. So the two words I want you to focus in here, if you're going to celebrate, you cannot celebrate this week in history. The only way, and we're going to do it, the only way we can celebrate is going behind the curtain. You remember the curtain was split in two?
Yeah.
We got to get behind the curtain.
Yes, sir.
It's finished. It's done. So then you can celebrate. You can celebrate when you know how, not just to be circumcised or not just to be baptized in water.
Yeah.
Be baptized in the Spirit.
Yes, sir.
You see the difference? All right, let's read. The scripture going to tell us that. 1 Corinthians 2, I love it. 1 Corinthians 2, I'm going to start at verse 4. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in what?
Demonstration
of the Spirit and of power. That must be a demonstration when you're talking about the cross. That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Now notice verse 6. Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, matured enough to walk from the history into the mystery. Did you get it?
Yeah.
All right. Now watch what it says. oh my goodness. Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are matured. In other words, you can't speak wisdom to those in this area if they're not matured. Yet not the wisdom of this world, nor the princes of this world that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God, verse 7, in a mystery. Now watch it. Even a hidden wisdom. It's a mystery and it's hidden. Which God ordained before the world unto our glory. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I said hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Now notice this, verse 8. You got to shout glory. Which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they wouldn't have destroyed themselves. So a lot of things in our life, if we knew no better, we wouldn't destroy ourselves. See. Had they known it. Verse 8. Which none of the princes of the world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. And then verse 9 and 10 tell us how to walk in the mystery. The mystery has to be revealed to you. You see verse 9 and 10? Eyes have not seen, no ear heard, neither been to the heart of man the thing which God had prepared for them that love him. Some Christians will never see what God got prepared for them, because it got to be revealed by the Spirit, the verse 10 says, all right? Now, here's another aspect I want you to see before I start giving some points. Now remember, revelation, visitation, application. That word is very important. Application. You got to know how, when you leave here tonight, you have to know how to apply what I said, right?
Yes.
Then manifestation, demonstration. See, the manifestation, demonstration, and domination can't come forward if you don't know how to function in the application. If you over here in history, you got all your memorization, all your scripture, and you're talking about Daniel and David and all of them. What about you?
Yeah.
See, it's a lesson. Oh, my goodness. It's a lesson for you to learn that you can apply in your life, that the power is not just for Daniel.
Right.
The power, you call your name, the power for you. But you just, I watch some churches just jump, the people just jump around, just dancing. That ain't gonna get it. That's not gonna get it. Now I just tell you the truth, it's not gonna get it. You can get upset as all you want, not gonna get it. All right, now, here's what the cross contribute to. The cross, number one, saved the sinner. But don't stop there. Number two, the cross set the captive free. Number three, the cross gives the believer, oh Lord, the cross gives the believer perpetual victory. And number four, and give the Holy Spirit latitude of movement in your life and life situation. That's why we turn to the text in 1 Corinthians 2:2 now. That's why Paul said this. Y'all want me to say that over, don't you? The cross, I heard you. The cross, number one, saved the sinner. Now, don't stay there just as you're saved.
Yeah. Yes,
sir. No, secondly, it set the captive free. We got to celebrate, I'm saved and free. And it gives the believer, listen to this word now, perpetual victory. What you know what that word perpetual means? Ongoing, unending victory, no matter what come up. And it is the cross that gives the Holy Spirit latitude of movement in your life and life situation. Look at 1 Corinthians 2:2. That's why Paul said, "For I'm determined not to know anything among you, save Jesus Christ and Him crucified." See? Now, the sixth verse, you go back to Galatians 6 and Galatians 6 and 14. Go back there quickly. Because that was the main text, and I was supposed to emphasize that text, read it with emphasis. "But God forbid that I should glory except or save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom," and here it is, "by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world." You see it?
Yes, sir.
All right. Turn to Colossians chapter 2, verse 14. Colossians chapter 2, verse 14. I'm going to make a statement, and you'll be able to pick it in this verse. You'll be able to get it in your life and apply it. Look what it says. "Blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us," hallelujah, "which was contrary to us," hallelujah. What it did? "And took it out of the way." How? How? What happened? How he took it out of the way? Nailing it to his cross. Why? Watch this. Blotting out the handwriting of ordinance that was against us, number one, which was contrary to us, number two, and took it out the way, number three. Nailing it to the cross. So now, when you're not functioning in the history of the cross and functioning in the mission of the cross, if nothing Satan can bring to you that you can't deal with.
Yes, sir.
Healing, help, and a long, satisfied life are evidence of the cross. That's what Colossians 2, 14 and 15 is saying.
Yes, sir.
Go back to Colossians. Colossians 2, 14 and 15, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. Right?
Yes,
"And having spoiled principalities and power, he made a show of them openly and triumphing over them in it." In what? In the cross. They couldn't do nothing with him. The second point I want you to think about is everything already paid for. The cross paid for everything. Hallelujah. So maybe you're dealing with something tonight. Maybe your family dealing with something. Maybe you're praying about something. It's already paid for. The cross has paid for everything we desire, everything we need, the cross is already paid for. The enemy will try to make you think you got to do a whole lot of praying for it. No, your praying is to get in the presence of God. Yes, this is the confidence we have in Him. If we ask anything according to His will, He is. If we know He is, we have the petition we desire of Him. All right? So everything already paid for. Say that out. The next time you go through a test, the gospel has been preached to you. And the gospel is saying to you, everything is already paid for. My victory is already paid for.
Yes,
huh?
Yes.
And you got to use that. How can I use that? Well, look at 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20. 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20. Say it, everything already paid for. This is what we're celebrating this week.
Yes,
sir. See, we're not in a history book this week. We're in a mystery book. We're in a book of revelation. We're in a book of manifestation and demonstration. We're in a time of rejoicing. Jesus paid for it all.
Yes, sir.
But He's wounded for my transgression,
yes,
bruised for my iniquity, chastised my peace upon Him. With His stripe, I'm healed. It's already paid for. The thief come not but to steal, kill, and destroy. I'm come that you might have life and you might have more abundantly. But it cannot be done in history. Even though you got your Bible, you got it marked up, but unless that Bible become a reality to you, unless you become Abraham, unless you become Isaac, unless you become David with that slingshot, it ain't gonna work. See, are you following it? Are you following it? See, the Bible is not a history book. Even though there's some history in it, but the Bible is a live book. It's a book of revelation. It come alive. Unless the cross come alive, you just wasting your time. I mean, if you're really gonna celebrate this week, you need to go ahead and celebrate. If you're going to celebrate, you need to celebrate. You need to know what you celebrated. Everything already paid for. Your healing. Somebody need healing right here tonight. It's already paid for. Somebody need finances. It's already paid for. He became sick for us to be well. He became poor for us to be rich.
Yes.
What?
Hallelujah.
All the joy you lead. All the happiness you lead. Oh my goodness. Hallelujah. Everything paid for. We celebrating this week that everything paid for. I'm out of debt.
Yes, sir.
Get out of this Babylon in your system. Always got somebody old, somebody. Listen to what I'm saying. I'm trying to tell you how to get out of this thing, man. And everything already paid for. The cross paid for it. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, if you don't get nothing else, you go home. Everything you already paid for. Hallelujah. Man ought to give his wife a high five. Say, honey, you heard? The man of God, everything already prayed for. Hallelujah. Give somebody a high five. And tell them everything, all y'all doing, yeah, y'all find somebody, give them a high five. And say, everything already paid for. Everything already paid for. You at home, anybody there with you? Give them a high five. You ain't got nobody with you? Slap the seat you said no. Everybody, everything paid for. Hallelujah. That's what the cross means.
Yes, it does.
Now, they can try to tell you something else. Try to be religious and try to put you in a circumcised position, but you're in a crucified position.
Yes,
you're not in the flesh. You're not glorying the flesh. We're not this church. We're not here to glorify the flesh. We're here to glory in the cross of Christ and glorify God. Everything paid for. My healing, my health, my long life, my happiness, my joy, my peace. Everything paid for. We can't let this world offer us a substitute. They come and show us a few cars. What about a car? Who want a car? I want happiness. I want peace. I want joy. I want relationship. I want fellowship. I want partnership. I don't just want no car.
Yes, sir.
That's right.
Shoot, the car can't even talk to you. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 19. We're saying everything is already paid for. Verse 19 start off to it. What? You know, you ever talk to a point and you had to ask them that? What? No, you're not that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, what you have of God, and you're not your own. Now watch verse 20 now. For you are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God. Now, wait a minute now. Everything paid for?
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
I'm paid for.
Amen.
You know what I'm paid for mean? I'm redeemed from the curse of the law. Only a remnant in the body of Christ gonna know this. This is not religion, this is a revelation. I'm paid for. Satan, you can't have me, I'm paid for. Sin can't have me, I'm paid for. The victory of the cross can only be understood and manifested through revelation. That's that prayer in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17 through 23. I don't have time to go to all those verses, but that prayer revealed the hope of your calling, your inheritance, and exceeding greatness of his power. Ephesians chapter 1. You have to have revelation. You have to have understanding. I got to go there. I know it, Lord. I got to go there. Ephesians 1. Celebrating the cross of Christ. It's not a historical event. It is a revelation full with divine mysteries that set you apart, that make you proud of the kingdom, proud of being a child of God. It brings victory. Oh, my goodness. My goodness. And look at verse 17, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, Ephesians 1, 17, the Father of glory, may give unto you what? The spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Notice verse 18. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of his glory, of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what, and what, and what, and what? What am I doing in this condition anyway? I'm a child of God. What is this? See? He said, nobody say, my God, hallelujah. Nobody say. Now, it proved to you that from a historical, scientific, psychological, academic position, you cannot celebrate the cross. You can't. Look at proving here, right? In verse 17, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. You see that? The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. Watch this now, verse 19. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead. But to raise him from the dead, he had to die on the cross. He raised him from the dead, we'll talk about that Sunday. And set him at his own right hand in heavenly places. Look at verse 21. When you understand the cross, celebrating the cross, you recognize I'm far above all principality, power, might, and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also that which is to come. Notice that. And had put all things, hallelujah, under his feet, and give him to be a head over all things to the church. Now, you see, when you said to the church, you're talking about to me.
Yes.
Who is the church? You the church.
Right.
So he's talking about telling you what kind of power you got. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And then the victory of the cross, you get the victory of the cross can only be understood and manifested through revelation. And here's what the Lord told me to say, tell you tonight. Turn to Revelation before we say it. Turn to Revelation. Revelation chapter 12. Turn to Revelation 12, because you're about to say something now. You're going to be so glad you tune in. You're going to be so glad you part of this was going on tonight, because you're about to say something that the Holy Ghost told me to tell you, say. Turn to Revelation 12 and get ready for a change in your life. He told me to tell you this. Say it out loud. It's my turn.
It's my turn.
Think about that. Think about it. The Holy Ghost told me that. He gave me that. He said, tell them, say it out loud. It is my turn.
It's my turn.
And he's talking about all the benefits, all the blessing, all the breakthrough, whatever you need. He's talking about this. There's an impartation in this service that your turn has arrived. No matter what you see, no matter what you go through, you'll be able to say, it's my turn. It's my time. See? Are you seeing? It's my turn to be out of debt. It's my turn to be out of sickness and disease. It's my turn. It's my turn. And so I'm going to give you a scripture to back it up. Because he told me to say it out loud. It's my turn. Revelation 12, 10 and 11. But these are cross verses. Revelation 12, verse 10. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now has come salvation. What? When it come?
Now.
And strength. When it come?
Now.
And the kingdom of God, when?
Now.
And the power of his Christ, when?
Now.
For the accuser of our brethren is cast down now, which accused them before our God day and night. Look at verse 11. It's my turn. As I celebrate the cross and get a revelation of the cross, visitation of the revelation, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. That's cross, man. That's the cross. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. The blood of the Lamb, that's the cross. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. It's my turn. And they loved not their life unto death. My. Galatians chapter 3, verse 19. I know it's your turn. Galatians chapter 3, verse 13. Christ has redeemed me.
Yes.
I'm redeemed. Huh, when you say redeemed, what are you talking about? The cross? Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us on the cross.
Yes,
for it's written, got a word, curses again. Curses everyone that hangeth on a tree. Are we going to let that just pass by? Go to the next verse now. Why did he do that? Why did Christ hang on the cross? Why did he die? Why did God send his son? Why did he pay that price? Why did he suffer? Why did they jug him and slap him and spit on him and took his clothes and all kind of stuff off? Why did they do that? Why he went through that? That the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentile through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. That's why he did it. See? We're going to have a revelation. Here's a one-on-one presentation God is making to you. My excellent spirit is released in your body now. Expect and receive now total deliverance. My excellent spirit is released in your body now. Expect and receive now total deliverance. Acts chapter 3, verse 5, that lame man expected to receive something from them. And he received it. And you look in verse 16, and he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive. So I expect to receive from the revelation of the cross. Look in the 16th verse. Acts 3, 16, my God, they testify what happened. And man, you know, the man was hit, lamb, but he got up. He expected and he received. I'm not going through the whole story. And his name, through faith in his name, hath made this man strong, whom you seek and know. The faith which is by him has given him the perfect soundness in the presence of you all. Expect. My excellent spirit is releasing you for deliverance. The next thing the Lord said, during this celebration of the cross of Christ, this season, tell a sense, continue making withdrawal from the Christ of the cross. Continue making withdrawals from the Christ of the cross. Look at John 19:30. Continue. It's there. So much there for you. You got to make withdrawal. You have to know what you're doing. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he was on the cross, he said, it is finished. Now, just that statement, it is finished. Everything you're dealing with, I dare you speak to it and tell it, it is finished. No, it don't matter what it is. See? It is finished. That's what the cross means. The cross means it's finished. No, it is finished. It means that whatever you're dealing with do not have the power to stand up to you. Because to stand up to you, you got to stand up to the cross, and the cross of Christ have defeated everything. It is finished. Jesus Christ. John 19:30. All right, children. Oh my God. I remember when I heard this. God do not want us to imitate the cross. He wants us to celebrate the cross. How? With evidence in our life that the whole world can see and experience through us. He don't want us to imitate the cross. He wants us to celebrate the cross. You can come here and, you know, preach, Jesus died on the cross. Yeah, he did. But what you going to do tomorrow? See, he wants us to not imitate. He wants us to celebrate. He don't want us in history. He wants us in the mystery. That was going to hold us in these hours. There's a lot of things going to be calling on you. A lot of worldly stuff going on. Only the strong going to survive. Those who know how to walk and mature in the things of God, and the glitter not going to get them. You need to be able to see behind the glitter. Behind the glitter is a fool. That's all you got, a fool. Ain't no faith. It's just foolishness. All right? All right? All right? Let me try to close here. Jesus took care of us on the cross. I remember as a Baptist boy preacher, we used to preach these seven words. Then Luke 23:34. He taught us a great lesson that will keep us healthy and keep us holy. Know how to forgive people. Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing. Now, when I was a Baptist boy, you had to preach this, partner. You had to, it was your turn. It was seven of y'all preaching, you know. And you're a seven boy. They gave you the last word, that was something. But forgiveness, I want you to understand divine forgiveness. The cross produced divine forgiveness. Forgiveness is so powerful. If you're able to forgive, the cross gives you the power to forgive people, those who misuse you. And then the next word was in 23:44, Luke 23:44, truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise. Well, when he's dealing with that thief, he let us know that we had a place to go to. And that the cross can handle all your sins if you let it. Yes, are you following me? Yes, but there's a place. This world is not our home. Huh? Yes, sir. No. But we're supposed to bring heaven here till we leave. That's right. Yeah. See? We're supposed to leave here with heaven. Long satisfied life. And ready to go. And just go on, shift to another level in the things of God. Are you following me? So the third word was, my God, why have you forsaken me? And yes, Jesus, the man talking. He's going through the pain and his flesh can't understand it. So he said, my God, why? That cross, man, he was taking all our sin, all your mistakes, all your shortcomings was upon Jesus when he's on that cross. And the Father had to back off. The Father had to take his hand off him for him to die. And then in John 19, 26, 27, you can read them. He took care of his mother. He said, woman, here's your son. He said, son, here's your mother. Because he gave Mary another son because he really wasn't a son. You know, I know this makes the Catholic Church jump, but he really, you know, he just passed through her. Mary got pregnant just like you got pregnant. You know that? How you got saved? That's the way Mary got pregnant. Jesus coming through. And so he said, now I'm going to give you another son because I got to go. And he told the boy, I said, now you take care of mama because I'm getting out of here. And then the next one is John, Luke 23:46. Oh my, this is the one here. Father, into your hands I commend my spirit. Now, boy, if you had that word in the Baptist church, you got to bring that. See, Father, into your hands I commend my spirit. Now, what he was showing us, if we don't die, we really don't die. We transition. That's why I can handle a funeral now and handle certain things. I just don't like people to die early, but I can handle it, man, because I know where there's a transitioning period when a Christian dies, their spirit goes with me with the Father. Father, into thy hand, I commend my spirit. Now, he said in John 19:28, I'm thirsty. Now, what I did, I compared these seven words to the Beatitude. Jesus said, blessed are they who do hunger and thirst after righteousness, they shall be filled. And then John 7:37-39, talk about being thirsty. Say, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. But here's a thirst. Here's the thing. I'm thirsty, Jesus said, because he's going through that so much for us. And then he said in 19:30, it is finished. Now, these last few minutes are going to be very important. In the cross, on the cross, in the cross, and from the cross, there were a multitude of health benefits. What I said? Yeah. I want to give you a few things here about that those health benefits. Faith, favor, food, and food. Taking your future in a God-given plan. The God-given plan is Jeremiah 29:11. Faith, favor means grace. Food. Pick your choice what you're going to be. Taking your future in a God-given plan. Because Jesus died for you to be healed. Why we couldn't get some people healed and all these years I've been studying, I know why now. It wasn't that the prayer wasn't being answered. Is they were not taking care of themselves. They didn't know nothing about it. Are you following me? Giving your body back to God. It has been stolen by man with man-made ideas about health that is failing at rapid speed. It's called the cross. You give your body back to God. Have some understanding. I'm going to spit some scriptures out. Romans 12:1. 1 Corinthians 6:19-20, we went over that. The next one is stop beating the air about your health. Stop beating the air about your health. She had went to many physicians. And instead of getting better, she got worse. Use your faith. Don't put your health in man hand, woman hand either. Use your faith. Ask God for wisdom. Ask God for healing. Ask God for help. God sent somebody to tell you the truth, and then you all shook up. Stop beating the air about your health. The cross paid for your health. 1 Corinthians 9:26-27. Read it sometime. Stop beating the air. Then the question is asked, what happens when truth and facts become one? What happened when truth and facts become one. Genesis 1:29 through 31. You notice I'm not reading the scripture. I'm just going to make you a cross celebration up in here. You can go look them up where is the help that God had provided for me? I want you to read Jeremiah 30:17 with me. Jeremiah 30:17. Where is the help that God had provided for his children? Why did Jesus die on that cross? For my health. He died for my health. Healing means health. He healed them all. Look at Jeremiah. Look what he said. For I will restore health unto thee. And I will heal thee of thy wounds, said the Lord. Because they call thee outcast. The church we call saying, this is Zion, who talk about that Jesus died on the cross, whom no man seek after. Look at another verse. Oh my. Look at Jeremiah 33:6. Look at 33:6. Let's look at it quickly. I got to close. Behold, I, not no doctor, not no herbs, I will bring it health. And if they're sick, what I'll do? I'll cure them. Not make them well, I'm going to cure them. And I will cure them and will reveal, see that? See what he got to do? Reveal unto them the abundance of peace and truth. Reveal. See, you can't be revealed if you don't trust the Holy Ghost. All right, let me try to close. I'm trying, Leroy. I'm trying, all right. Is God's word failing? Or are we failing to face the fact about sickness and disease? Psalm 107, verse 20, quickly. Is God's word failing? We make God look like a failure because we're looking into man for the answer and man do not have the answer. He sent his word. And heal them. And deliver them from their destruction. What? You can't have faith for help if you reject revelation on your healing and how to keep your health. You can't have faith for help if you reject revelation on your healing and how to keep your health. That's Hebrews 11:6 right there. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. He that come to God must believe that he is, and that you water them that just is. I'm giving you two messages. Listen. God love your body. Have you learned to love your body? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Psalm 139, verse 13 through 18. You wonderfully and fearfully made. It just needs some repairs on the inside. Do you love your body? Organized religion and denomination know very little about health or healthy living. Therefore, the church is sick as the world. Hosea 4:6, turn that. I won't say this right there because the reason the church don't know about health is from up here. Up here. That's what the church wouldn't learn. But somebody got to teach it to them. And somebody, when they get an ugly face, show you an ugly face, you just got to keep teaching them. Because they don't know why their face is ugly. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge because thou have rejected knowledge. And I will also reject thee that thou shall be no priest to me, saying, seeing thou have forgotten the law of thy God, I will also forget thy children. You rejected knowledge. Thousands of preachers should be under my voice tonight. You know, deacons and elders, okay? Organized religion and denominations know very little about health. They got thousands and thousands of people in them denominations. They know, watch them. They're bigger than a giraffe, singing, sweating. I saw a man preaching from a chair. I'm not putting him down because he couldn't walk. He's too big to walk. He's preaching from a chair. I know God, take care of me. What? What? Oh, yeah, you see, you got to preach this, you got to be independent. You are being called to help revelation now. Receive and walk in it now. John 10:10. Thief will not rob you anymore. You're going to watch what you put in your mouth. Watch what you put in your mouth. Watch what go through your mind.
Yes.
Leave mass mind alone. Mass mind. Thank you. I saw a 96-year-old woman, her daughter and her son-in-law led her to start eating right. She 96. In 5 weeks, she was off all her medicine and walking 3 miles. 84 years old. All kind of age. It's not the age, baby. It's knowing what to do. Your prayer working. Your mouth ain't working, though.
Wow.
This system and the pharmaceutical world have took us over, and we can't let that happen. I won't stand for it to happen. You have to know how to eat.
That's right.
I'm closed. Oh, Lord. Early death, a long suffering, must be moved out of your life today if you be willing and obedient. Early death, notice that, early death, a long suffering. In other words, you may be a long time, but you got to have 19 operations. It's not God. Now, up to this point, we didn't know, but now you have an apostle telling you. As Isaiah 1:19, if you're willing and obedient, you eat the good of the land. Psalm 91:14-16. Your health is in your mouth. Never too late. It will change everything. Clean your house out. For if it's in your house, it will get in your mouth. Woo! Turn to Daniel 1 for a quick closing. Daniel 1:8. Sure was quiet in the house of the Lord. Are you defiling yourself at the world table? Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore, he requested of the press of the eunuch that he might not defile himself. Stop defiling yourself. Stop defiling yourself. Defiling yourself at the world table. All them commercials, they spend millions of dollars to put different colors, different smell, just to get you to buy it. You got to know what's in this crap I'm eating. All right, so here's my last statement. Yeah, I know Jesus backing me up. Because I'm going to give you a bunch of words I want you to write down. And I'm closing. Faith, favor was grace, food, facts, foolishness, flavors, forsaken, flowing, flourishing, and finishing. I want you to look at these words now. I want you to look at these words and be able to deal with them. And always ask yourself how you're taking care of yourself. You know our mama used to say, take care of yourself, child. Huh? Well, pastor saying or not, take care of yourself, child. Look at these words. Faith. Can I do this in faith? Can I do this in God's favor? Food. Facts. Foolishness. Oh, my. Flavors. Forsaken. Flowing. Flourishing. And finishing.